Good morning,
sir.
Text that I'm bringing this morning makes me feel kind of like I'm preaching to the choir. But I just seem to feel the Lord leading this passage out of the book of Hebrews 10, 1 and title the message, Once for All. I'll be reading out of the English Standard Version. Since the law has but a shadow of the good things to come, instead of the true form of these realities, it can never, by the same sacrifice that are continually offered every year, make perfect those who draw near. Otherwise, would they not have ceased to be offered, since the worshippers, having once been cleansed, would no longer have any consciousness of sin? But in these sacrifices, there is a reminder of sin every year. For it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sin. Consequently, when Christ came into the world, he said, Sacrifice and offering you have not desired, but a body have you prepared for me. In burnt offerings, sin offerings, you have taken no pleasure. Then I said, Behold, I have come to do your will, O God, as it is written of me in the scroll of the book. When he said above, You have neither desired nor taken pleasure in sacrifices and offerings, and burnt offerings and sin offerings. These are offered according to the law. Then he added, Behold, I have come to do your will. He does away with the first in order to establish the second. And by that will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Father, I thank you that your word never returns to you and it accomplishes what you sent it out to. Lord, I pray today that you will strengthen and encourage us in our faith, equip us for it, be able to recognize a pseudo gospel or a counterfeit gospel, and Lord, to be able to stand firm in our faith, having our faith solidly grounded. Your word is truth. I thank you for your word. I thank you for the spirit of truth whom you have placed inside of the believer that he may teach us all. I pray everything said and done here today will be your glory through your holy child, Christ. I ask you. Wayne and Debbie and I went out Wednesday flyers out, took turns, buying church, and I heard interesting remarks. Maybe that's Trump. A lot of people believe that they can deviate from the gospel of Christ. They're going to be okay. Paul said that the law, in the book of Romans, he said the law is holy and it's good. It's God's law. And he never handed anything down that was unholy or wasn't good. But he said that law can't save us. Here in Hebrews, he's describing the law as a shadow of the good thing. According to the scholars, Paul is literally comparing the law compared to Jesus Christ as the shade cast from a body onto the ground. And that body prevents any of the sunlight going through. So you have a shadow on the ground. It's not a clear image. It doesn't allow any light to come through. And this is the word that the writer uses here to describe the law. And yet, today, I still run into people that think that if they obey some kind of a moral law, that God will judge them righteous and allow them into the kingdom of heaven. And yet Paul here says that the law is only a shadow. The law has been replaced. God found fault with the law. Not the law in itself. Paul said the law is holy and good. The Ten Commandments are holy and good. But no one who attempts to get to God through the law will get to it. God is Savior. Paul told the church in Galatia some of the men had got seduced into the teaching of some of the Jewish proselytes who said, unless you are circumcised and obey God's law, you can't be saved. That's with what Jesus Christ is. So in essence, they're saying the cross of Christ is not enough to save you. The message of faith alone will not save you. Now, we know today that faith alone can go way over the extreme. And in fact, I believe in works in this sense. They are works prompted by faith, which is prompted by love. They are acts of obedience and obeying the Holy Spirit and God's revealed will and purpose in the written word. And I've had people even tell me that was work salvation. Faith alone, faith only. Paul dealt with it in his day. It's been labeled antinomianism, which means against law. Paul told the church that since there is no law, it's not in the way, sin's not imputed. God took the law out of the way. So some reason that if there is no law, then it doesn't matter how we live. Because God's not going to count sin against it. And I still run into people today, talk with people, listen to people who seem to think that unless you obey the law of Moses, you can't be saved. If you eat pork, you're not going to heaven. Some of them carry it as far now as you eat meat. You know, God wants you to be a vegetarian. I haven't found that in the scripture. The Apostle Paul said, let those who don't eat meat not look down on those who do. Don't let the meat eaters look down on the vegetarian. He said, let everyone be firmly convinced in their own mind. I was talking to someone 2 weeks ago, and we got talking about diet, which is something I don't talk about a lot. For me, it's a short conversation. But this person told me that when they started studying the Bible on their own, that they realized that God had never declared unclean meats clean. And therefore, they didn't eat certain meat because God hadn't declared them clean. I didn't argue with them. Now, that's hard for you to believe. All I did was look at this person and say, the Apostle Paul said, let every one of you be convinced in your own mind. That ended the conversation. Sometimes when you bring reason and scripture into it, that ends conversation. They think that you are deceived, you don't understand. But I'll tell you who's deceived. Anyone who thinks that they can add to the cross of Jesus Christ. Now, I'm not an antinomianist in that sense. But I'm saying you cannot add to what God has done for us and expect Him to be pleased. Expect Him to bless that. And yet I hear it all the time. Well, I believe that when I stand before God, I'll be judged by what I've done. And if my good outweighs my bad, I'll enter into the kingdom of heaven. Well, the problem is, the Bible says if you break one of God's commandments, you've broken all of them. So He'll judge you as a lawbreaker. And it amazes me that God, in his mercy, has offered us salvation through the blood of Jesus Christ, through what he did, not anything that I've done except received it, believed it. I tell people all the time that I talk to, you can't be saved if you don't see your need for a Savior. Saved means to be rescued. So what are you being rescued from? Well, I think if I do my best to keep the Ten Commandments. You don't want to be judged that way. Paul, James said, you break one, you break them all. And if you want to, if you want to live your life like that, God will allow it because he's giving you free will, but you ain't going to like the outcome. If you and I declare to God Almighty, I refuse your offer of salvation through Jesus Christ, I'll do it my way. I remember a guy died and his daughter attended the church that I was associated in, and she said, Daddy had the song, I Did It My Way, played at his funeral. Yeah. I thought, oh boy. No, thank you. I don't want to do it my way. Scriptures say the heart of man is deceitfully wicked above all things. Can know it. Give me the cricket saying, always let your conscience be your guide. If your conscience has been enlightened by the Holy Spirit, yeah. If it hasn't, uh-uh. Because I'll call things right that are wrong and wrong that are right. That's the world we're living in today. People think that there's all these ways to get to God. I was talking to Sunday school this morning about a prayer thing they're trying to get going in Springfield. Here's Springfield, Missouri. And they're inviting people from all different faiths to come because after all, we pray to the same God. No, we don't. The God of Islam isn't my God. Okay? The God Buddha is not my God. So, as Paul would say, how can I say amen if they're giving the thanks when they're worshiping the false God? How can I tell somebody as a Christian, yeah, it's all right. You don't have to be in church. The Bible says not to forsake the assembling of ourselves, but that doesn't apply to you, sweetheart. You can go to the lake when you want. You can go hunting anytime you feel like it. You can forsake the worship and the gathering of God together. You know one reason I think a lot of people forsake the assembly today is because we're not assembling for the right reason. Okay? We say we're here to worship. We are here collectively, corporately, as a body, as a unit to worship. James says, confess your sins to one another. That's what the Greek says. So that you may pray for one another. Anybody here want to start that out? Not me, baby. My sins are none of your business. I think a lot of people don't attend the assembling because I've heard in just being around town, I don't feel welcome. Don't feel loved. I don't feel like anybody cares. So, one guy said, I reject all organized religion. Actually, I would too if I wanted to live the way I wanted to live. And I'm watching this dude on TV who wouldn't know God if he walked down a red suit, but I like what he says. That's not his, but that's what I say. Wayne and Eddie were talking to him. I about bailed out of the car just like the old fight day. Oh, my God, the fight's on. You know, and the Holy Spirit said, you just sit there and be quiet. Okay. Talked to a guy yesterday. He said, all preachers, and it's funny. What he told me. And he knows I'm a preacher, so it was a direct dig at me. And I just sat there and smiled at him. I wanted to tell him I took a $6,000 a year pay cut going to the ministry. Yeah, I'm in it for the money there, bozo. So figure it out. So people invent their own way to get to God. Think about this. If God's holy and just law is only a shadow of what was coming, how much worse is any of the doctrine of sin? Any of the philosophies of demons, that's what it is. Well, you can get to God on your own way. All of us are going to get to God. Every one of us in this room will stand before God. But not everyone in this room will stand before Him and hear the words, "Well done, good and faithful. Enter into the joy of your Lord." Are you saying I'm not saved? I'm not saying that. But I'm saying that in the church, any church I've been in, there are people there who profess to believe in Jesus Christ, but they actually live the way they want to live, and they figure they're going to heaven just because they believe. The law can't save you. Being good enough can't save you. This guy yesterday told me, "I don't go to church because there are no preachers preaching the word." I thought, how would you know that, man? You're not going to church. Well, are you taking somebody else's opinions? And one of the misfits walked up and said, "Man, we're here for Jesus." And he got up and went, "Wow." You know, you want to hear the truth. And when he named the truth, you didn't want to hang around. The law, the shadow. You got preachers today telling people, "We're one of the lost causes of Israel." Then you're telling me I'd be a Jew to be saved. "Well, we're one of the lost causes of Israel." Then I have to be a Jew to be saved. "Well, we're one of the lost causes of Israel." I've had that conversation. And when you try to nail it down, they don't want to come out and say, "Well, you do have to be a Jew to say." I like to look at and say what Paul did. "You're saying unless I'm circumcised and obey the law of Moses, I'll be..." I can't. "Oh, no, I wouldn't say that." But you shouldn't eat pork. You ought to observe the three political feasts every year, the feast God gave this. "Then I need to buy a plane ticket to go to Israel because God said I need to be presented at the temple down the year. I can't afford that. And there is no temple." I've been known to eat a ham sandwich once in a while, so I could be a good Jew. None of that's going to get you into heaven. Whenever anyone wants to add to the cross of Christ, I don't care how they do it, you need to run from that like you would a cotton mouth. You need to see it for what it is. I had a lady one time in the Nazarene Church, Sunday school, Brother Rick, "Don't you think there'll be Jehovah's Witness, Mormons, heaven?" I said, "If there is, God will have to apologize to the devil." "Well, they believe in Jesus." "Well, who's Jesus, Jehovah's Witness?" "Michael, the archangel, became a man, died for our sins." "Well, my problem with that is I'm not an angel. And if Michael, the archangel, died for sins, it was only for the sins of angels. The Bible says that because the children are flesh and blood, he too partook of flesh and blood. God, the eternal word, became a man and died for my sins and anyone else's sins who received that." Yeah. And you can talk to people about that sometimes, and they will look you right square in the eye and go, "Well, I don't believe that." I guess I'm kind of cynical. I want to tell them, you know, in a battle of wits, you're unarmed. Man, you listen to them and the ignorance just pours out of their mouth. And I don't mean that in arrogance. Sad. Really sad. I was thinking about that this week. You know, Jesus, so many people reject what you taught. Still do. And Jesus told his church, if they listen to me, they'll listen. They won't listen to me. They're not going to listen. And I got to thinking this morning. I said, you know, Lord, I want girls in this church. I want to see every seat filled. I want to have two services every Sunday. But that doesn't necessarily gauge spiritual growth. Okay? So, Jesus preached and taught and labored and healed people 3 years. And my Bible tells me when he went to heaven, he had 120 people following him. Wait a minute, out of all them thousands that you preached and poured your life into and gave your blood for, 120 people said, I'm going to follow you. And the Lord told me it's not any different now than it was. Many are called, but few are chosen. That's kind of heartbreaking. His minister is frustrated. I had to regroup this week and remember why I'm in ministry. It's all about Jesus, not about me. Yeah. But sometimes, folks, it can get pretty frustrating. When you listen to people talk and you think, how come they don't get it? So why do they think they have to add to the cross? Like, what is it within us that we feel that way? I know why they take the liberty to do that, because the God of this world has blinded their eyes. That's what the Apostle Paul said, and to me, that's a good explanation. It's a simple explanation. And yet, a lot of them that are blinded get mad at God. True God. Who wants to open their eyes, but they don't want to eyes. When I was thinking about this morning, I was reminded of Jesus' conversation with Nicodemus. Jesus said, light has come into the world. The Greek says, God light has come into the world. But people prefer their darkness. I think it's the Amplified says they will run to God life. They'll go back in the dark. You know, as a Christian, I can't understand. Why do you want to be in the dark? I had a guy tell me last week, guys talk about looking for God, and I'm looking for him and I can't find him. And I said, well, look where you're looking. God has said that he requires every one of us to seek him, to search him out. Said, I'm not very far from him. That's the faith. Don't let anybody tell you that you've got to dress a certain way, you have to eat a certain way, you have to go to this church in order to be a Christian. You have to believe that you're a sinner, God's enemy. I don't care if your greatest sin is kicking the cat. You got to understand that you are cut off from God, and the only way to be reconciled is Christ. That's what we need to be preaching. That's what we need to be taking out here. I was so impressed with those Christian young people. I had flyers made that we handed out stuff for missing. And I mean, they grabbed all the flyers I had, and they busted out there like a chubby quail. They were out there staring their faces. And I'm going to be honest with you, I talked to a couple. But I stood there and just watched them kids go. Said, man, Lord, when did I lose that? When I first came to Christ, he was all I wanted to talk about. I told a friend of mine, people want to talk about the weather, I want to talk about the weatherman. I remember a deacon in the church I was in. I said, do you ever do any jail ministry? He goes, no. I said, do you want to? I said, yes. I said, who better than Jesus, the people today? And I went in there and the sheriff looked at me and said, what do you want? I said, I'm here to share Jesus with the inmates. You don't have any contraband in that book. He said, no. I thought he was going to frisk me, but he didn't. We got in the back, started down the catwalk, said, you ever been here before? I said, yeah, a couple times. And he thought I meant ministry. So he said, "Hey, Rick, I ain't seen you in a while, man. What are you up to?" And he looked at me and goes, "Oh, you have been here before." I said, "Yeah." But I remember that zeal. As a baby Christian, I found the answer to all of life's questions, and I wanted to share that. And three of those inmates stood there with their mouths hanging open when I was telling them what Jesus Christ had done in my life. And I'm not bragging on me. I mean that zeal was there, that love. And that's what I saw in these young people yesterday. Some of them been delivered from drugs and sex addiction and porn. And man, they had to tell somebody. Where have we lost that in the church? What's happened? Do we think we've got to keep it to ourselves? What if one of you were poisoned and you found out I had the remedy, but I didn't say anything to you? Maybe it was one of your kids, and I knew what to give that kid, counteract the poison, save their life, and I didn't. And you say, "Why not?" Well, I didn't want to get involved. But you didn't ask. If you just come and ask, I'd have told you, "Yeah, I've got the remedy for you." There's a lot of problems right here in this town. And the answer is Christ. I don't care what the problem is, the answer is Christ. I'm going to tell you something, and you're not going to like it. It is the epitome of sin that if you really believe it, if you really believe Jesus is sin, well, people reject it. They reject it. Yeah. One of them up there on the square told me yesterday, one person on for 2 hours. There's a lot of people out here that are in the dark. The light doesn't break because the light bearers aren't going out there and bearing the light. Jesus said we're light. You don't light a light and put it under a basket. In those days, they used a bushel basket, get food, and then they'd flip it over at night. The poor people would, and that was their table. And Jesus was a poor boy, so he's talking to the poor boys and girls, and he goes, "Hey, you don't light a candle and put it under the bushel. You set it out on top so it'll light the house." So he said, "Let your light so shine before men they may see your good works. Glorify your Father," not your church, not you. I think that's another problem with that. We like to direct it. Yeah, I'm including myself. We like that pat on the back, "Job well done. Wow, look at him go." We have the answer to every problem right here. There's a lot of drug abuse here. Alcohol, child abuse, spouse, darkness, sexual immorality. I mean, this town is Sodom and Gomorrah, this smaller scale. Oh, wait a minute, I don't want to keep talking about my town. Get over it. Get your head out of the sand. Look. Ask God what you can do. We need to be like Isaiah. Say, "How'd you get over there when you started over here?" I do that all the time. You ought to be. Yeah. We need to be like Isaiah. I love that. He's in the throne room, and after he gets over the initial shock, and the seraphim touches that coal to his lips, the Lord said, "Who am I going to send?" He said, "Send me. Here I am." We talked about surrender. God's will, take my heart, change my heart, oh God. Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord. Sing those songs, but do we mean it? It's just words if you're keeping it to yourself. Well, now, I don't smoke or drink or chew or run with those that do. Well, good for you, but that doesn't make you a Christian. Muslims don't drink or smoke, or chew, or run with those that do. Mormons don't smoke, drink, or chew, and run with those that do. Jehovah's Witnesses don't. Well, am I saying they're Christians? No. But, church, let's quit measuring our Christianity negatively. You know what I'm saying? Let's quit telling people, you can tell I'm a Christian because I don't do this, I don't do that, I don't do this. And the whole time the world's looking at you saying, well, what do? Jesus had more to say about doing than not doing. Yeah. God has prepared works for every one of us in advance. Before you were ever born, God had a plan for your life. And it's not up to me or anyone else in here to find out what that plan is. I don't know how many times people come in and say, well, what do you think God's will is for my life? Well, I don't know, man. I ain't God. I'm not going to tell you because I might send you way off in left field. I got to take care of me. You know, I got to watch me. I got to say, God, what's your will for my life? And not worry about his will for your life. All I need to do is tell you that he has a plan for your life. Are you going to do it? Well, I'm too old to get out there and walk the streets and share my faith. You ain't too old to pray, are you? Huh? You know what's going to break down the walls around this town? Prayer. Because we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, against principalities, powers, spiritual wickedness in the high place. You don't bring a knife to a gunfight. You ever hear that? We're fighting spiritual forces and darkness. Now, Paul didn't say the law was darkness. He said it was just shadow. People didn't understand what God's plan was. And still, a lot of people didn't understand what God's plan was. I love it that Paul says, by which will God, we have been sanctified. What's that mean? Set apart for the Holy Spirit. Well, how do I know what God's purpose is? Pray. Pray. You pray. You make yourself available. Like I said, here I am. He will open doors or windows, whatever it is he's going to do. Walk to Chernobyl and shared Christ. Young lady at the square light yesterday told me, I don't have testimony. I didn't come out of a biker background or drug addiction. I thought, did Jesus say, yeah, drug. Church, we have an answer. What are you going to do with it? It says in Proverbs that people hate hoarders. I'm paraphrasing. But it says when there's a drought, a guy's hoarding his grain and he won't sell it, people hate him. How are they going to feel about us who have the truth and we're not willing to give it out? Is it possible that there's somebody that you had a lot of contact with that's gone and don't know the Lord that they look at you on that day? I didn't want you. Are we ashamed? I've had to ask. Am I ashamed of the test? I attribute it to burnout. I get tired of talking. I'm walking away. Oh, but like I said, I had to do an inventory to see what I was saying about. God, I'm here to represent Christ on this earth. That's why he left me. And he left me. But I don't ask him to take him out. That's be have Christ died once for all. Don't add to that. That's the good news. Jesus Christ died for you. Christ was willing that no one should perish, and he shed his blood, which takes care of the sins of the world. But how many people told them to pass? Ask yourself that question. It's time for the church to get real. Be the church. Be thinking about evangelism. Not what Rick can do, what can you do? God brings you in contact with people all the time that need to hear about you. Start making yourself available. If you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, you would like to come forward song presentation, I'll be glad to talk. Or if you want to hang around at the church and talk, I'll be glad to. If you're here this morning, Clark, understand that God loves you so much that he shed his blood, giving you the spirit of truth. What are you going to do with it? Think about that. Sing the song to me. Remember that truly prayer, as Desiree had
part of the leg. Got the top swallow. Restrain the current part. We pray in church. Praying in whatever it is. Other ministry or maybe. Any other prayer requests? Now. Praying. Sean? 7. Okay. 7. Did you get a chance? Fine. Sure. Did you get a chance? Go by and swim a day. Wayne and Debbie and I stopped her. I used to try to take her a long speech. And she lit up like a Christian. So, and just told us how much she missed service here and missed. Get a chance, go by her. Give her a call. That would fix it. Say, hey, we're thinking about it. Come back tonight, Dr. Mark, you know.
1 Peter 1.
1 Peter 1.
We're actually be watching a little bit of video, too, on the area of Israel where Peter hung out, fished, and walked around, and where he died.
Cool. Guys, don't come back home. So, and if I come Wednesday night, study stuff and talk. Try that, draw a name. Okay. Do you ladies want to sit around? Okay. Well, Brother Wayne, close.
Father, we thank you for this day that we can come and worship you and hear a message of you from your word. Father, I just pray that we all look at our lives and realize that there's a lot more we can do than what we're doing. And that if we truly believe in you and trust in you, we will be prompted to reach those who do not know you, who haven't shared their life with you. And we just ask, Father, that you help your church grow. Help us to be bold in our worship and our service to you. Protect us and lead us throughout this coming week. And we just pray for the sick that have been mentioned and those who have issues in their lives, both spiritual and temporal. We pray, Lord, for healing. We thank you for the love you have for us. Help us to share that love with the rest of the world. In Christ I pray. Amen.
Came from heaven to earth to show the way from the earth to the cross. I bear the pain from the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky. Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I lift your name on high.
Amen.